Hey, thank you, Kane. 806 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Dalton, Orwig, and Leanna with you on this Monday morning, giving Sean Sullivan some much-needed time off. And it's that hour where we turn up your voice, 251-343-0106. You can give us a call or a text at that number, and bear with us. We're working without a screener this morning. Well, we're not. Leanna is going to screen your calls, but might take us an extra second to get in there. And lots to talk about this morning. You know, on Friday, we were talking about the two school systems, the Baldwin County Public School System and Mobile County Public School Systems, kind of laying out their plan for this fall. And Baldwin County, it looks like they're going on as scheduled. Mm-hmm. Back in class August 12th. They're going to try to socially distance the kids in the classrooms, and I guess masks are going to have to be worn by the children there. But for things like breakfast and lunch, they're going to stagger the times and try to keep as many children separate as possible. Even the older kids are allowed to, I guess, go out and eat outside as long as the weather permits this year to keep people separate. But the Mobile County Public School System, not starting in August. According to Superintendent Kressel Threadgill, they're going to get started on September 1st and won't even be going into the classrooms then. 9 weeks of virtual schooling for Mobile County Public Schools. They should be, if everything goes well with the coronavirus trends, they should be back in class in November for Mobile County Public Schools. But get your thoughts on that, 251-343-0106. And I think this is a pretty big story from over the weekend. When last week, Governor Kay Ivey came to the podium in Montgomery, mm-hmm. and you can't call her Governor Meemaw anymore. AL.com said that's just not right. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Ainsworth, who's pretty much butted heads with Governor Ivey every step along the way since this pandemic began, he's pro-mask. He's made that pretty well known on his Twitter feed and Facebook that he thinks people should wear masks for their own safety and the safety of those around them. But he's been against a statewide mask ordinance, and he said that Governor Ivey was also against the statewide mask ordinance, but flipped her position on that last week. And he called it over the weekend in a meeting with the Madison County Men's Republican Club. He said that a statewide mask mandate is a slippery slope and could lead to mandatory vaccinations later on down the road. He said, I was in the news this week. I wasn't planning on being in the news, but I spoke Tuesday about the plan that we had in place, talking about COVID-19. He said, I want to say this. We had a good plan in place. It was local control, which I'm always for. I believe people at the local level know best and can make the best decisions about how to impact their community. We had a system in place that listed each county green, yellow, orange, or red, depending on how the cases were doing, so that local leaders could make decisions about their community, but also the school systems could make their own decisions, which we saw last week with Mobile County and Baldwin County. He said, I was on record before, and I'm not going to support a mandate for masks statewide. I think it's the wrong policy. I think that when you do that, it's a slippery slope. And the thing I want everybody on this call to understand is once we go down this road of mandating masks, the next thing they're going to try to mandate, and you're already seeing it, is vaccines. And he continued here, if a vaccine comes out, will I get it? Absolutely. Will my kids and wife get it? Absolutely. Some people have different beliefs from that, and what I want us to make sure is we've got to protect freedom, we've got to protect liberty, and when the government starts mandating stuff, in my opinion, it's a slippery slope and dangerous, and so that's why I was against that. What's your take on that? Were you against the statewide mask ordinance? What about the local level? Seems like Ainsworth is promoting that local leaders make their own decisions, which is what we saw with Mayor Sandy Stimson and the Mobile City Council a few weeks ago when they enacted a mobile mask ordinance. But this last weekend was the first time that the entire state was under this ordinance. Baldwin County, for the first time, people were forced to wear masks. And I know personally here in Mobile, I ventured out a little bit this weekend, but it seemed to me that fewer people were wearing masks this weekend than they had the prior two weekends.
Noticed that too.
Yeah, when the Mobile mask ordinance went into place. So maybe people getting a little bit more lax here in Mobile now that we've had a couple weeks. And, you know, it has been two and a half weeks since Mobile put that ordinance in place. What are we seeing from the numbers? That's the coronavirus cases continue to surge here in Mobile County. We're now averaging 3 deaths per day in Mobile County. And Baldwin County, who has not had a mask mandate, they had their 2 record days of new cases over the weekend, too. What'd you see? If you went down to Orange Beach or Gulf Shores this weekend or hanging around Daphne or Fairhope, were people wearing masks in Baldwin County? Sheila sent me a tweet. She said, lots of masks over here everywhere. I was on the Eastern Shore and down in Orange Beach and Gulf Shores this weekend. The mask ordinance was definitely being followed. And, you know, Leanna, I don't know about your personal opinion. For me, I don't see the big problem with wearing masks when it's your own individual decision. I've got masks. I've been pretty much, except for when I forget, wearing them the entire time during the pandemic when I go out shopping, when I go to Lowe's or Home Depot or go out to get something to eat until I'm actually eating, when it's impossible to wear the mask. But for the statewide ordinance, is it a slippery slope? I don't know. I do know that more people wear the masks when it becomes a state law, but government overreach is a real thing to be worried about. Is it worth having this mask ordinance in place if it means that 25 to 40% more people wear masks than they would? I think we'll see whether it's actually working with the trends in Alabama here over the next couple weeks. Are we going to start to see those numbers drop because this mask ordinance was put in place? But the government overreach, could vaccines be made mandatory here in the next few months? Hopefully the next few months, if there is a vaccine.
Right.
I know they're working hard on that, not only here in America, but worldwide, to make this vaccine. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth seems to think that's a real possibility.
Well, school-age children have to be vaccinated to go to schools.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a mandate.
Yeah, there are. And I wonder, you know, polio, was there a mandatory vaccination thing then? I don't know. I wasn't around during polio. But there's been several, you know, epidemics that have come through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that vaccines have been made mandatory in the past. David on the text line said, when one American citizen loses their liberty without cause, we all lose our liberty. Remember in November, all of this coronavirus liberty loss was under the watchful eye of President Donald Trump. David, I don't know if you remember, but in November we weren't doing anything about this virus. Maybe you're talking about March or April of this year. He said, President Trump has done more to take away liberty than Barack Obama could ever dream of. He said, I saw the opposite this weekend. It took a statewide mask mandate for widespread compliance at Buc-ee's for wearing a mask. And you said you went to Buc-ee's this weekend, too, the biggest gas station in Baldwin County, and about 50-50 wearing masks there?
Yes, and the social distancing was a little lax. There were people that were close by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. I think, in my opinion, you know, what could wearing a mask hurt? I know that a lot of people have health issues that make it impossible for them to wear masks, but we held our own little test, and I stupidly ordered a mask about 3 weeks ago, and they sent it to Alberta. I guess they got the AL confused with Alabama. I thought it was a cool-looking mask, and at $15, it must work really well.
Oh, yeah?
Well, it turns out that mask did not work really well, and we did the candle-blowing test, which I think you told me and someone else said that if you want to see if your mask will actually work, you have to put it on and try to blow a candle out. And
I saw Bill Nye do it.
Okay, well, if Bill Nye did it, then it has to be true.
I mean, he's the science guy.
So these masks that I waited forever to come in, I finally put it on. We light a birthday candle, and I pretty much immediately blew it out.
Oh,
so
yes.
I don't know if my masks are working. I do know that if you sneeze or cough, it does have the ability to hold it in a little better than not wearing a mask at all. But unless you have a real health issue, I don't see what's the worst that could happen if you do wear a mask. But it does seem that most people are worried about a mandate and what that could mean down the road if the government starts making things like this mandatory. Get your thoughts on that, 251-343-0106. Talking about schooling, Dale says, reopen Mobile County Public Schools in November, right before or after Election Day, or the same day. I think Election Day would be, what, November 23rd this year? I might be off by a day or two there. They would, if the trends starts to head in the right direction, they were planning on bringing kids back into class for Mobile County Public Schools at the beginning of November. Daniel, we were talking about that story from Kentucky, and I'll go over that again here, too, because talk about government overreach. They put ankle monitors on a couple from Kentucky because a woman tested positive for COVID-19. She wasn't showing any symptoms, but she got tested before she went to visit her family in Michigan. And I guess there in Kentucky, and heck, this might be happening in more places than I realized, they asked this couple to sign a self-quarantine document where they promised that they would not leave the house. She said she would self-quarantine, but did not want to sign the document. And then she ends up getting a text from the health department that said the situation would be escalated and law enforcement would get involved. They were later greeted by officers at their front door, forced to wear ankle monitors, and placed on house arrest, I guess, until her self-quarantine time is up. That is a bit crazy, I believe. And keeping up with his theme here, Daniel said, I would tape the Kentucky lady's ankle monitor to a snapping turtle. That way they would be forced to try to find them and find the snapping turtle. And Daniel, another one here that's not wearing masks, he said he will at work. It's company policies, and he gets paid to be there, so he wears a mask. And he'll wear it to Lowe's and some of these more public places, but elsewhere it's a no-go for Daniel. Walt commenting on our Governor Meemaw story here with AL.com saying, quit calling her Governor Meemaw. He said, we'll call her Aunt B in Summerdale. I guess it's time. I guess we need to come up with a new nickname for Governor Ivy. If AL.com says we can't call her Governor Meemaw anymore because it's sexist and ageist, maybe Governor High Steppa? I don't know. There's a lot of good nicknames out there.
That doesn't sound bad.
No.
I like that.
I like it, too, and I think that's what we've been calling her here for a while. I'm not convinced that Governor Meemaw didn't start right here at FM Talk 106.5. We've had lots of listeners calling her that basically since she took over as the governor, Governor Meemaw, but AL.com saying, we can't call her that anymore. It's ageist and sexist. Got any nickname ideas for Governor Ivy? Shoot us a text, 343-0106, and we're coming right back.
This tip for the outdoorsman is brought to you by 90 West Auto and Marine. If you're searching for a nice pre-owned vehicle or boat, that's all you'll find at 90 West Auto and Marine next to Mobile Lumber on Highway 90 and on Facebook.
Do you want to continue bird hunting all year long? Hi, I'm John Felsher. You might have read some of my articles in many outdoors publications. Well, stand by for another outdoors tip.
Buying a pre-owned car doesn't mean buying old, but it does mean saving thousands. Browse our pre-owned inventory at 90westauto.com. Then see the cars on our spacious lot right next to Mobile Lumber on Highway 90. If you're searching for a nice pre-owned vehicle or boat, that's all you'll find at 90 West. And in-house financing gives you more options than traditional lenders. Even when your credit is good, but your credit score is challenging, 90 West Auto and Marine will make it work. Drive west for your next new-to-you vehicle or boat at 90 West Auto and Marine, or see us on Facebook.
In Alabama, sportsmen can shoot crows all year long without limit during daylight hours on private lands. Tough, wary birds, crows make extremely challenging targets. To hunt crows, place an owl decoy or a few crow decoys in a prominent place and start calling. Crows and owls hate each other. At night, owls hunt crows and destroy their nests. Crows retaliate during the daytime. Whenever a crow spots a lone owl perched in the open during daylight hours, it calls its buddies so they can hang up on the creature and kill it or drive it away. Crow hunters cannot stay in one place very long. Once someone shoots at a flock of crows, those birds won't return to that area anytime soon. So crow hunters must keep setting up in new spots. Fortunately for crow hunters, the noisy black birds consume huge amounts of crops like corn and other types of grains. Therefore, many farmers enthusiastically welcome anyone who would come on their land and shoot crows. This is John Felsher with your Outdoors Tip, brought to you by FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with isolated afternoon thunderstorms. Highs will be in the lower 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-70s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a few scattered afternoon thunderstorms and high temperatures in the lower 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5. A 30-year-old woman was shot near Old Shell Road in Acacia Street Saturday night. Police confirm an unidentified man fired off several rounds, one of them striking the woman. She was taken to a hospital for treatment. We do not know her condition this morning, and no one has been arrested. An unusual sight in downtown Mobile. People eating brunch Sunday witnessed a helicopter flying around the top spire of the RSA Tower. It appeared to be doing maintenance work on the top of the tower. Mobile police blocked several downtown streets, including Water Street, while the job was in progress. The annual deep-sea fishing rodeo wrapped up on Dauphin Island Sunday, but the focus wasn't entirely on fishing. Part of the event aimed at honoring two people who lost their lives in car accidents. Devaney Rooney died just a week before she would have graduated from high school. Adrian Johnson, known as Goose, was an avid fisherman who lost his life in a car crash in 2019. A Spanish Fort priest diagnosed with COVID-19 was was back at Mass Sunday morning, Father Jim Zink contracted the virus in June. His recovery was announced on the Blessed Francis Xavier Silo's Facebook page. I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News 5.
Hey, Gulf Coast, Greg Halliday here with Kobe Subaru. If a staycation is part of your summer plans, let Kobe Subaru help. With the Go Anywhere Crosstrek, the luxurious Legacy, or audacious WRX, Kobe Subaru is the place to start. With these vehicles having rates as low as 0%, now is the perfect time to buy. Qualified buyers can put their first payment off till fall and enjoy the summer. And remember, at Kobe Subaru, it's all about you.
It's all about you, you, you.
Hey folks, Danny Cordy with the Mobile Sports Authority here. As the sports tourism arm for the city and county of Mobile, charged with bringing in sporting events, like many, COVID-19 has pushed many of our events back to the future. But slowly and safely, we're moving ahead. As we enter the second half of summer, our current schedule of sports events includes competitions in youth basketball, youth baseball, softball, and even turkey calling. For more info, as well as daily updates, visit MobileSportsAuthority.com. Go all out. We do.
Good morning from the SpringHillToyota.com Traffic Center. For now, Mobile Police Department, County and State Troopers are clear. We look good from Airport Schillinger Road, also along the interstate from I-10, Range Line to Theodore Dawes Road. No problems from the Bayway and the Causeway, from Malvis to Loxley and I-10. Watch your speed along the Foley Beach Express. Market in the Park is back this Saturday from 7:30 in the morning till noon in downtown Mobile at Cathedral Square. It's your favorite certified Alabama farmers market. See them at specialeventsmobile.org. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5. Traffic.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 822 on FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Dalton Norwig and Leanna with you on this Monday morning. Sean taking a little bit of time off here. And text, are you really shocked that people in Alabama are resistant to comply with a forced mandate? People forget what our state motto is, we dare defend our rights. And good point. You know, I'm not shocked. But I do know that the mask ordinance, the statewide ordinance and the local city ordinances, I think more people are wearing masks than they would if there were no ordinance in place.
Yes.
Which I am all for wearing masks, but I'm also not going to attack someone or berate them for not wearing a mask. But now, over the last few weeks, it seems like it's more strange to see people out without masks than it is with masks on.
Right.
Although over the weekend, I did see more people not wearing their masks. But, you know, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth said that's overstepping the rights of state government, and that should be left to the local municipalities. Mr. Renfro texting here, honestly, I'm worn out with the mask discussion. I typically wear my mask. My wife is very good about wearing her mask. But yesterday, I went into the local store, and the lady was, reading a person in there. I don't know, maybe going after someone that did not have a mask on. So I immediately took my mask off. I don't want, and I'm not going to tolerate people treating us that way over something like a mask. Get a life. And, I've seen that too. I went to a local sporting goods store right after the ordinance was put in place, and they had one of their elderly workers at the front door playing the role of bouncer for people that weren't coming in with masks on. And everyone had their masks on except for one lady that came in. And it looked to me like the guy said, hey, you can't come in without a mask. And she said, you can come find me because I'm not going to wear my mask. And then he kind of let it go. So the bouncer at this local sports store maybe not doing his job at 100%, but it's kind of, a lot, people don't like being told what to do.
Right.
When they go in shopping, and so many different places have these mask ordinances in effect. Costco had it on early. Target, CVS, Walgreens, even Walmart has mask ordinances now. And I think the businesses like when cities and states put these in place because it makes it a little easier for them to enforce the mask rules.
Yes.
And I know they're worried about immunity for being sued if anything comes up. You know, somebody tries to sue Walmart and say they caught it at one of their stores. And that's something that's being looked at in Washington right now as they debate this new coronavirus stimulus bill. Now, the Democrats in the House, they, I think, already voted on their $3 trillion stimulus package. Of course, that has to be voted on in the Senate, and the Senate Republicans have their own plan. I think it's about a $1 trillion stimulus relief bill. A couple things that they're looking at, and one thing that was mentioned a lot last week, the Trump administration looks like they're trying to take the data from coronavirus out of the hands of the CDC and have that data now sent to the HHS. And that's causing an issue with a lot in in Washington. They said that the Trump administration is kind of trying to hide some of this data. The Republicans, they want to send, they want to increase testing and also contact tracing. They're planning to grant $25 billion to states. But another part of this GOP bill wants to reduce money for testing, I guess, federally, and send $15 billion to the NIH, $10 billion to the CDC. They're supposed to talk more about this today. But on Wednesday, the White House mandated that all COVID-19 data from hospitals be sent to the Department of Health and Human Services, which, of course, is controlled by the government instead of the CDC, which is, they call it here, an independent and apolitical facility. That can be argued whether the CDC is actually apolitical, but that's what they wrote here in this national story. But the White House, they're saying they want to send the data to the HHS because it will streamline data collection, make it more efficient and more centralized. But when we talk about this new stimulus relief package, I mean, how much money is too much money to be spent by the federal government? They've been printing money like crazy. I mean, even before the pandemic hit, but now especially as they send money out to unemployed workers, even like the stimulus check that most people got, if you make under $150,000 as a family, they sent those out a couple months ago. When they're debating this new one, that $600 a week of federal unemployment money that's that's sent in addition to the normal unemployment checks,
right,
that's actually running out at the end of this week, July 25th. The Democrats, they want to see that continue, $600 for those that have filed for unemployment. It looks like the Republicans are also okay. It seems right now like they're okay with sending a little bit more money for those that are unemployed, but they're looking at more around the $200 or $400 mark. But I do know a lot of people who, you know, they're normally resistant to the government doing anything like this. And they said that that money did help them early on in the pandemic, as so many Americans were struggling making those mortgage payments and car payments and things of that nature. So I do know that a second stimulus bill would help a lot. But down the road, I mean, we're spending so much money nationally. Just look at how much debt we already have. It's crazy.
Right. Our children will be paying for this for years.
Mm-hmm. They will. And the president, he said, he, you know, he had a big sit down with Chris Wallace and Fox News over the weekend. And a lot of what the president said made the news. You know, Wallace asked him whether he would accept the results of the November election if he lost. And much like he said in 2016, said, that depends. I'd have to see what happens in the November election before I tell you whether or not I would accept the results. You're going to hear a lot about that from some of the national media this week. But I think this was important, too, as we talk about this stimulus relief bill. The president said he wants to see a payroll tax cut and that he's not going to sign on this new bill unless there is a payroll tax cut. He said he also wants to see protections for businesses. He said, we need protections because businesses are going to get sued just because. He said, you don't know where this virus comes from. They'll sit down at a restaurant, then they'll sue the restaurant, and all of a sudden you have a local business owner out of business. He said he wants immunity for these businesses just like the police need immunity, according to the president. He said, we need some kind of immunity just like you need immunity for the police, whether they like it or not. You need immunity for the police. And they need a form of immunity, said that a lot of times. But yeah, he wants to see a payroll tax cut and said he would not even consider signing a new bill unless he got that payroll tax cut. So the president making lots of news this weekend. And he mentioned, you know, he had a campaign rally a few weeks back and he had another one planned. We thought he might be coming to Mobile. That ended up not working out. But the president's candidate, Tommy Tuberville, ends up winning the Senate nod anyway, beating Jeff Sessions in a landslide on Tuesday. But the president also had a campaign rally planned for Michigan, and he's blaming Governor Whitmer there in Michigan for not allowing the campaign rally to go on. He basically said it's all politics and that they didn't want him to have his rally. That's why Michigan has put some of these rules into effect. What will campaigning look like for Trump and Biden and Kanye West? Okay, we're not taking Kanye's bid seriously, but he did have a campaign rally over the weekend. But if the president is not able to hold these campaign rallies like he did week after week, day after day, heading into the 2016 elections, I wonder if that will take a toll on his chances to be reelected come November. I think that the president has a pretty strong base, a lot of people that don't need to go out to see him rally in order to vote for him. But what about those swing voters that are there in the middle? Will the president not being able to go out and rally affect them at all. It's really interesting to see. And coming up, there's a Fox News poll that has a lot of new information. Of course, you can't take every poll for exactly what it's worth, but it does provide some insight, I think, into this upcoming election. And they actually have Biden now with an 8-point lead. Also, a lot of different information in that new poll. So we'll hit that coming back. You're listening to Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Still taking your text. What should Governor Ivey's nickname be if we're not allowed to call her Governor Meemaw anymore? We've seen some great ones here. This one says Poison Ivy. Interesting. All right, coming back. More Mobile Mornings on the way. FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, Dalton. How are y'all?
Hey, morning. Doing great here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios. But, man, I want to talk about what's hot on the lot at McConnell. We talk often. Of course, you have great new cars and trucks available, but also the used car inventory looking pretty good.
That's right. It's looking dang good, to be honest with you. We finally got some trucks we're trading in, and they're not staying long. So if you see one on the website, give us a call or stop by and come check us out on a test drive. Don't forget, the website is McConnellAutomotive.com. And I've got to say stuff about the new car side. I mean, that employee pricing plus some cash on those SUVs, that's the deal going on right now. So like I said, come check us out at beautiful Dolphin Street, Midtown. We'll take care of all your needs. Or got any questions, call Gene or I, or call at 251-476-4141.
And I keep harping on this too, but you guys are buying vehicles from customers as well. What do you have to do if you want to sell you a car?
That's right. Just give Gene or I a call, like I said, at 251-476-4141. Give us the miles and the VIN number, and we'll give you a price right over the telephone.
All right. Good stuff. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com. 838 FM Talk 106.5, and Travis getting on to me here, and with good reason, too. We talked about it some earlier in the morning, and, of course, the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo was in full effect over the weekend. They had the cannon blast at 5 a.m. Friday, and fished all through yesterday. Now, I didn't make it out there on the water, and I'm no Sean Sullivan here, so when I go over some of these trophy categories, you'll have to bear with me. But it seems like fishing was pretty nice over the weekend. ADSFR.com, they have the full leaderboard there. And also what I love this year, since they weren't able to have the Liars Contest, they weren't able to have the big party down on Dolphin Island because of the pandemic, you can actually buy the ADSFR merch. Now, yes. This is the 87th annual rodeo, but you can buy that cool shirt and hat. You know, they make the poster every year. We actually shared a video on our Facebook a few months back of them actually, the illustrator making the poster for this year's ADSFR. Well, if you want to and you weren't able to make it down to the island this week to buy any, you can buy the shirts, hats, and posters now at ADSFR.com. And I think there were a lot of good, lots of good fishing over the weekend. Hopefully that'll lead more people to our Facebook page where we do have the weekly FM Talk 106.5 fishing photo contest presented by Sportsman's Marine in Fairhope. All you got to do, load your picture up there under the comment section. And Leanne, you've said in the past, the best way to get votes is to hound your family and friends to come vote for you.
Mass email, post it up, and things like that. I've gotten a couple of requests myself from friends that have posted up.
Yeah.
And you get a dry fit.
Mm-hmm. One of the most rare t-shirts we've ever had here at FM Talk 106.5. I think we've only given out 6 or 7. So if you get the most votes this week, you could win that shirt. And maybe you send us a picture from something you caught over the weekend down off Dolphin Island. I'll go through some of these categories here because Sean does this every year. And bear with me. I'm no Sean Sullivan. African Pompano Hunter Bear won that one with a 14.39-pound catch. Great Barracuda J.J. Kessler, 38.9 pounds. Blackfin Tuna Cody Grumbly winning in that category. Triple Tail Blackfish, Zachary Bradley, 20.5 pounds. Hardtail Blue Runner, Craig Prescott, 6.29 pounds. Bluefish, Kevin Oliver Jr., 7.3 pounds. Noble Smith won in the Bonito category, 17.5 pounds here. In the $500 Billfish Catch and Release category, the team High Pressure won. They also won the $250 category. Carl's Clowns really killed it with the Blackfish this weekend. They won the $500 pot, the $250 pot, and the $100 pot. For Dolphin, $500 went to Lady Anne, 37.37 pounds. In the King Mackerel category, Aggressive Pace got it done for the $1,000 jackpot, 46.2 pounds. When you go down to the $250 category, Flight Risk won at 56.28 pounds. For Speckled Trout, the $1,000 prize went to Wayne Ladnier with the Black Pearl, 14.09 pounds. Let's see here. Swordfish, $1,000 category, went to Seaweed, 161.5 pounds. The Tuna, $1,000 category, went to Smoke and Reels, 50.27 pounds. Wahoo went to Lady Anne. They had a 16.42 pounds on the scale there. Let's see here. Flounder, Frank Miller, 5.8 pounds. Black Drum, Daryl Belt, nearly 50 pounds, 49.66. And Mahi Mahi, Scott Jordan, 37.37 pounds. Now, one unfortunate thing with the Deep Sea Rodeo this year, they didn't have the Red Snapper category like we were expecting to see. Of course, the state shut down Red Snapper season early. They did have the Lane Snapper category. That went to Tyler Stafford and Gray Snapper Brandon Collier. King Mackerel, Paul McLeod Jr., 56.28 pounds. It goes on and on. Bunch of categories down here and bunch of good fishing. Dwayne Mills won Redfish, 8.82 pounds. And Jonathan Bird, Speckled Trout, 4.19 pounds. So if you got one you want to know, send us a text, 343-0106. But from everything I can tell, it went well down there off the island. And look here, one of my good buddies, Nathan Rich, won with the Speckled Trout jackpot for non-motorized, 3.38 pounds. Nate Rich, one of my neighbors here in Mobile.
Nice.
Very cool to see him win. And that's the ADSFR Roundup. I know I didn't do nearly as good of a job as Sean. Probably right. Even screwed up there a couple times, but that's what we do. We love the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo here, yes. So wanted to get
And there's
those.
A link on our Facebook page.
Okay, good.
To the merge.
Okay, perfect. And we have somebody texting here. Can I ask y'all a question? I don't have the regular call-in number. Same as the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, we were talking about the president going on Fox News this weekend mm-hmm. and talking with Chris Wallace, and he spoke about a bunch of different things. Of course, he talked about his opponent in the general election, Joe Biden, and basically said he was not fit to be president, that he stumbles over his sentences and forgets every other word. But you look at this new Fox News poll that came out, and of course, I know a lot of people's feelings about any poll coming from the media. In 2016, a lot of those polls proved to be wrong, but I do think that these polls still show you some trends for what's going on nationally, and maybe a lot of people aren't saying that they'll vote for Trump during these polls because they don't either agree with the pollsters. I mean, I have trouble believing that conservatives in South Alabama that get a call from CNN or Axios are truthfully answering or even answering the poll at all. But right now, this Fox News poll has Biden up by 8 points over Trump, 49% to 41%. It's down a little bit for Biden since June and up a little bit from May. He's been right around that 50% mark here recently. And the president actually seeing his best numbers in the last 3 months. He was down at 38% in June. Now that's up to 41%. The 8 points is within the 10% margin of error there. So who knows? It could go either way. But 8 points, still a lot to make up. Trump right now, 5 points ahead among men. And Biden, this is where he makes up the big difference. He's up 19 points among women. Biden leads among black voters at plus 64 points, Hispanic voters plus 30 points, millennials plus 22 votes points, suburban voters by 11 points, and independents by 11 points. And I think the independents is the one that truly matters there when it comes to the November election. 7% of those approving of Trump's job performance back Biden. That's a pretty big number. Whites with a college degree and without a degree go for Trump. He's also a huge leader when it comes to white evangelical Christians, plus 43 for the current president, plus 9 among rural voters, and plus 1 among seniors. Last month, seniors went for Biden by 10, so a pretty big swing in the most recent Fox News poll here. Then you look at the motivation from voters. They said extremely motivated voters prefer Biden by 8 points, and those that are extremely likely to vote by 9 points. We've seen this in the past, and you think of all the the protests that have been going on, and you look on social media, God knows that a lot of outspoken millennials and younger people completely do not like the president. But are those people really coming out to vote? It doesn't seem like they have in the past, that a lot of people are very outspoken on online and in the streets, but you don't really see those numbers translate year over year when it comes to the election ballot box. If they do this year, I think Biden has a pretty good chance of winning. But if the turnout among a lot of these new Democrats is low, it's hard to see the president not turning out his base and doing pretty well this November. Right now, Trump's favorability rate at 43% versus 56% unfavorable, and about 47% have a strongly unfavorable opinion compared to 31% for Biden. So that's the latest Fox News poll there. And, of course, the president, he doesn't think Fox News is on his team anymore. He's railed against them plenty of times. He's more of a One America News guy now. I'll have to find a One America News poll and release those. But I want to get your take on that. 343-0106, what does this mean for the president? I think the economic status for the country is the biggest deal coming up. And with the coronavirus pandemic, a lot of voters say that's what they're most worried about. And, of course, with good cause. But if this is still raging in November, what will the turnout be? I think that's a pretty big question. We'll try to answer it coming up. Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, thanks, Kane. 8:51. FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Dalton Warwick and Leanna with you. On our website right now, fmtalk1065.com, you can check out the three big things. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth warns that the Alabama statewide mask mandate is a slippery slope, could lead to mandatory vaccines. Also, the GOP leaders and president expected to discuss virus aid this week as the crisis deepens. We continue to see more new cases every single day. Also, House leaders alarmed with federal officers policing protests out in Portland. I don't know if you saw that story this weekend, but federal officers are making arrests in the Portland protests that have been going on for nearly 50 days now. But you can vote on our online opinion poll question. With the state of Alabama having a mask ordinance in place, have you been wearing a mask when you go out in public? A simple yes or no answer will do right there. And it is brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they do amazing work. And it has been so dag-blamed hot outside that I can understand if you don't want to necessarily do the work that's been piling up around you too hot. Right. Maybe you don't want to have heat stroke. Well, just put that on Trey and the crew. They'll willingly come out and remove the junk that you have around your house. It doesn't matter if you have bowling balls you're trying to get rid of, trampolines. They'll come out and get it. And you just give them a call. It's that easy. 1-800-GOT-JUNK or visit them online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And you make your appointment time with them. They show up exactly when you expect. They don't give you a huge window of time, like say from 6 a.m. in the morning until noon, where you have to take a half day off for work and then maybe they don't even show up at that point. That's not what they do with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They show up when you expect them, and they get the work done. And they're really easy to find. 1-800-GOT-JUNK on the phone and online. 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, so we've been talking mask ordinances this weekend, or first weekend with the statewide mask ordinance. And pretty interesting take from Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, where he said this could be leading to mandatory vaccines. I've heard from a lot of people that, I don't know, I guess anti-vaxxer is kind of the right word for him. A lot of people are completely against getting a vaccine of any sort. Jim said, the absolute only time I'll wear a mask is if I'm going somewhere that requires it, and I absolutely have to go there. He said Costco, Academy Sports, you know, there's a lot of different businesses that have put these mask ordinances in. He said, never got a flu shot in my life, and I don't intend to start with COVID-19. If there are places I can't go because of this, fine, refer to Revelations. Then on the other side of the coin, Hal texted in, due to political indoctrination from Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and Rush Limbaugh wannabes, we have a segment of our population too stupid to come out of the rain. Hal said, thank God I got immunized against polio and smallpox before the fraudulent conservatives came to being. Harsh words there from Hal. And get your take, 251-343-0106. And we were talking about that Fox News poll. And I was wondering how many people respond truthfully to these polls when they get called, specifically conservatives that are pro-Trump. Tim said, I know they think they have to have something to go by. I know they think they have something to go by, but I'll probably get called at least once a week with a poll, and I do not answer the phone. Hashtag vote for Trump. That's from Tim. Now, I've never, in my 28 years of living, I've never been called about an election poll or anything like that. Leanne, have you been polled before?
I have. I actually worked for a research company where I used to call and poll people.
Cooking the numbers.
No.
So they had you working and answering the poll?
No. Oh, okay. I don't think that I've ever answered. I'd usually recognize the number or not recognize the number and just not answer. But I used to actually call and do polls.
Now, if Trump ends up winning in November, these polling companies and businesses, they're going to have to really take a long look in the mirror. And I think, I would like to think they did after the 2016 elections where they were so wrong about the Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump election. But who knows? I mean, if you go by the polls, it seems that every single one has Trump losing right now. But how accurate are those? We won't truly find out for another 4 or 5 months. Matt said, it's just like you mentioned earlier, the race is going to come down to the independent voters. If President Trump can't get them out to vote for him, the race goes to Vice President Biden. On another note, it shouldn't matter if a cable news network is, quote, in the bag for you. Quit ragging them about that. That's a turnoff to swing voters. When you gripe about petty issues, just get your message out on your own. Okay? Very interesting take there. Keith said, if the virus is still going on, which we already know it will, if Trump can keep in-person voting, Trump wins. Democrats will be too scared to go to the polls at all. No amount of hand sanitizer or masks would comfort them. Then they'll sue, riot, and say once again that he's illegitimate and spend the next 4 years trying to impeach him again. I really think that whoever wins in November, I don't think either candidate will accept the results of the election, at least initially, maybe after a few days. But if Trump wins, you're going to have the liberals out saying that, and the Never Trumpers saying that it was cooked, that they didn't allow voting for vote by mail. They didn't allow all these different things, and they made people march to their certain death and vote at the polls. But if Trump loses, then you'll hear it from the other side that there's probably voter fraud from those that had the mail-in voting and curbside voting. I don't think it's going to be pretty once we start to see these election ads truly roll out. Even, I mean, we've already seen it with President Trump hitting Biden in that Fox News interview over the weekend and previous times, and then Biden, of course, going after the president and how he's handled coronavirus. I really think it comes down to the economy. If we start to see the numbers trend down for coronavirus, and maybe there will, maybe there won't be another wave this fall of the virus. The health experts say they are expecting there to be another wave. We'll have to see. But if there isn't, or if it doesn't come until after the election and the economy starts to look pretty good, I think that swings things in Trump's favor. If we're still going through this and lots of people are still dying and lots of new cases continue to be added and the economy takes another dip, then I think that would sway things in Biden's favor. So I think that's what we're looking at for the general election. And we'll talk about this more this week. Also, that stimulus relief bill they're debating in Washington, I think they're going to talk more today. The Democrats in the House passed a $1 trillion stimulus relief bill. Of course, that doesn't mean anything until the Senate Republicans vote it through, and they will not do that. The Senate Republicans have proposed a $1 trillion relief bill, and it looks like maybe another stimulus check on the way for Americans. How much can America spend before we're in deep, deep trouble? Some, including myself, would say we're already in deep trouble. We're in so much debt. But I'm sure Mike Gallagher will talk about that more coming up. He's up next right here on FM Talk 106.5. And coming up at noon, Jeff Poor sits in for Sean Sullivan. This has been Mobile Mornings Monday Style. Thanks, Leanna. Have a good day.
Thank you.